Good day, everybody. Welcome to Lessons for Life podcast. I'm Troy Hudkins, your host, and with me today, my guest, Duffy Alverson. Duffy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome. Haven't seen you in quite a while.
It's been a few years. Yeah. Been a few years.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Working, finally, not in the hotel business anymore. Thank God. So now I work in a hospital and, it should be my last job. So barring disaster, it'll be my last job. Cause I like it. The hotel is fine, but the money is so much better in the hospital. You get benefits and I just, I still cook, but you get that feeling that you help people, sometimes it's a highlight of their day is having something to eat, mostly what I do though, is I feed the employees and the families of the patients because, I don't work on the patient line. I just don't do that right now. I kind of do my own thing now. I mean, I have a menu I have to follow, but other than that, it's kind of like a restaurant. So it's not traditional hospital food. So, it's cool. I've learned more cooking there in the 5 years I've been full time. I've been there, since 2007, but I've only been full time for maybe the last 5 or 6 years.
Nice.
But yeah, it's been good.
Right on.
Yeah. So, living the dream, so to speak.
That's awesome. Just make it through, right?
Yeah.
So to start with, who is Duffy Alverson?
Oh, geez. He's a good guy. I like to think, slightly irreverent, maybe a bit odd, but, good heart, hard worker, a mule or a donkey. That's my spirit animal is the donkey, small, hardworking, doesn't respond well to the whip, stubborn. I can't be stubborn. I'm pretty loyal, family man, not married, never have been, but still, family man, take me and my boy. We're still close. My thing, try to have fun. Try not to be too serious because life can be pretty serious. So, I am when I have to be, but I like to have a good time, but not at others' detriment. So
Nice. Who would you say was a great influence growing up in your life?
Well, when I was younger, my mom, because she was always, my dad worked like a ton, 80-hour weeks, editor of the newspaper. So he was always working. So it was always my mom. My mom was the rock in the family. She stayed home. I think she started working. I was in fifth grade. I remember my dad once said, how come they never ask me? They always ask you. And my mom said, because I'm the one that's always here. But later, me and my dad were, not that we weren't close because we were. And when my mom passed, me and my dad actually became closer. So, he was a big influence just because, you see some people who have kids and they think that their job stops when they turn 18, but that's just a new chapter because your kids never stop being your kids, and I learned that from him because, he was dad until, until the day he died. So, and that's just the way it was, which is the way it should be. But,
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids, like I always said to my wife, kids growing up, they go through stages.
Mm-hmm.
You never get rid of the problems. The problems just change.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and for me, one of the hardest things for me, when my dad was always a guy I could go to about anything. Hey, I don't know how to fix this malfunctioning nuclear reactor. If we knew the answer, great. He would tell you. If he didn't know the answer, he always could figure out who to ask. Right. I always had that to fall back on no matter what it was. But now I don't have that anymore since he's passed. I have to be that guy. It's like, oh man, I don't know how he did it sometimes, because, he always had that air like, oh yeah, we got it. No problem. Even if inside he's like, oh geez, I don't know what we're going to do, right. But he didn't project that.
But that's when you call people, right?
Yeah. But now I don't have that fallback anymore. I'm the fallback. So, which is all right. I mean, I can take it,
So. Yeah. When the boy comes to you with an issue.
He's pretty resilient though. And he's real good at, He does come if he needs it, but a lot of times he's like, I got him. He is 31. He's doing quite well. So
right on.
We figure it out. Yeah.
Right on. That's awesome.
We figure it out.
What's one trait from your mother and your father that you would like to pass down to your son or your grandkids?
The hardworking I definitely passed down, because my dad was a worker bee. He worked all. I was always worried when he would retire, like, oh, I don't think this guy's going to do with retirement very well, because he was fine. When he was ready to retire, he was ready. But he worked hard and did what he had to do. And, and that I've definitely passed on to my kid, because he works. He's a hard worker. But, and just the heart. My mom, she had a good heart and she was tough. Even though she didn't always project, she was tough. And she was very maternal, not just with her kids, with kids in general. I mean, her only job before she worked in the hospital when I was 5, she worked in an orphanage. So, nice. She definitely had that quality. Yeah. Nice. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Good heart. I'd want them to have, compassion for others.
Yeah.
As right tough as it can be sometimes. So,
yeah. What about education? How important is education to you?
Well, I mean, do you mean like going to college or, cause I went to community college, took me 6 years to graduate, 2 years, 2 trips to Africa. And, I just wasn't ready to go to college when I went. I was a kid. I wanted to have fun. I did that. I did graduate because I didn't want to waste it. So, at least I graduated, but the way schools are so expensive now, if you don't have an idea what you want to do, and let's be honest, at 18, most people don't. I'm 57. I still don't know what I want to do. I'm just
when you grow up.
I'll figure it out. Probably when I retire, I have more time to focus on it. But, I think you should always learn. There's many ways for education. It doesn't have to be, going to college if that's not your thing. Trade school, I don't think they push trade schools enough because, trades are still important. You still have to learn a trade, learn skills, even if you just want to use it to like fix your own house as opposed to, working as a tradesman or whatever. Just at my work, I mean, we have electricians, plumbers, you think about it. We have that at the hospital, just because we need them. We usually have to fix our own stuff. So, but people learn as they go, if you have to, and there's not a set right way, even though the narrative is go to college, get a good job, but you spend so much money to go to college that you're hamstrung when you get out to try to pay that back. So,
what do you think carries more importance, classroom or life lessons?
Life. Definitely life.
Yeah.
Some people are great in the classroom and once they leave are clueless outside the door. They're like, life comes too fast. Yeah. Other people, struggle in school. I mean, I wasn't a bad student, but I wasn't a great student. I do all right in the world. Life lessons, you learn a lot more from life lessons.
Yeah. Yeah. For definitely. Sure. And you learn all the curveballs that get thrown at you.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You get that training and then you lean on other people, like you said, your father,
Right. And maybe you pass that on.
Friends.
I remember once a family discussion, me and Beth with when Jay was little. And she's like, I don't want him to make the same mistakes I did. And I said, yeah, but they're your mistakes. They're not his mistakes. And all he sees is you came out of it and you came out of it okay. So he won't see because you don't do that. I didn't do that. My dad says, you don't want to do that because this is a better way. Oh yeah. Yeah. Whatever, dad,
Right.
And you do it your way and you realize he was right, but that's just life. I mean, I'm sure he didn't listen to his dad until you get later and you realize, hey, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. But when you're a kid, all you see is the end result. and you come out of, they came out of those experiences okay, and that's all they see. I mean, if you're talking to them through a plexiglass because you're in prison, that life lesson will carry a lot more weight. He says, yeah, you might not want to do that. Yeah, you're probably right. Because his experience didn't end positively. So, but, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, people see how you come out of it and they say, all right, you know, and they give some comments. Oh, I can figure it out. So.
Yeah. One of the greatest feelings as a parent was when, you know, I had six kids and growing up, they all had different attitudes and stuff, but for a while, you know, in their teenage years, dad didn't know nothing, right?
Yeah.
And then as they get later on, you know, maybe into their 20s and stuff, dad knows a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then when they get to be like 28, 29, 30, they're calling you saying, hey, dad, can you, do you know anything about this? You know what I mean?
Yep, I do.
So it's
I do. That's a circle, man. Circle of life.
It's nice when they actually come to you because they want your advice.
Yeah. That means you did a good job. So,
yeah.
That's true, though.
Overall. Did you play sports and stuff growing up?
I wrestled as a kid in junior high. I didn't in high school. I moved here in high school and I just didn't do it. I mean, I was always active. You know, I was all gym. I took multiple gyms. When I was a senior, I took gym before lunch and after lunch. So I get to, you know, and I'm still active. I still, you know, I don't run as much because my knee gets sore when I run. It doesn't affect me when I cycle because cycling is less hard on my joints. Less maybe impact. Not as easy on my, exactly. Less, a lot more strain on my heart because I'm climbing up hills, but I do that on purpose. So
and where you cycle, it's, you can't go too far without climbing up a hill.
No, but there's, you can down in the valley because there's trails that just go around the valley, but we like to climb because we like to suffer. I don't know why, but we do. So
and where I live,
where I live, we've rode from my house, but it's hard because I'm on a hill. So I either you go down this really straight, steep downhill, but it's straight. So it's all right. You can go on pretty fast, or you can go the back way where it's equally steep, but it's curvy, but it's not as long. So we'll climb up that one. And that was a hard climb. Thank God no cars are coming because I'm weaving up the road to keep it as flat as possible. I made it up, but it was a challenge. Yeah. So
right on. You cycle
it's
every
just
day.
When you get, not every day, just because I get about 20,000 steps every day between work and just putting around the house. Not on the weekends. Weekends I'm down to like 5. But I'm on my feet all day at work and I'm always moving around. So
Well, all the times I've known you, you've never stopped. So, so dealing with wrestling and cycling, what has it taught you with competition?
Being part of a team, I like that. It wasn't, I definitely wrestled in the era of I wouldn't say that. No participant. Well, you got medals if you won. But if you know, this the championship, because I wrestled it, I grew up in a town in Nebraska that was a big hotbed for wrestling. That was one of our big sports. And they had this program for, it was kind of like youth hockey with the boys. But it was, you could do it for 3 years and then you were graduating to like junior high and then high school. And I did that. And the first year I got second. So I said, I'm going to win next year. I'm going to win, and then I lost my first match and I had to come back and I ended up getting third and it was just like such a, and then that second last year, I'm going to win because that was all I had. And I did, but man, I had to come from behind in my last match and, still one of my great moments, and I beat the brother of the guy that beat me the year before, which was added incentive and a bit of, I think I psyched myself out in the beginning. It's like, oh gosh, another Hoffmaster. I, I, you know, And I almost had myself beat before the match started. But, you know, I didn't. I won. So, and cycling, one thing I like about that, especially now with everything with the COVID and the lockdown, you get out on the road, whether I'm riding with the kids, and we go fast. But when I'm by myself, it's more you get in your headspace, you know, you're out there, you can just think about stuff and, you know, or not think about stuff and just pedal.
That's your meditation time.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, still be aware of your surroundings, but I like to track my progress because, you know, I'm not getting any younger, I don't want to slow down. I remember playing softball with guys and I was probably in my mid-20s maybe. And these guys were not my age now, probably like late 30s, early 40s. And they were scaring me because they were out of shape and they were hurting themselves. I'm like, man, I don't ever want to be that guy. So, right. You know,
yeah. And
I haven't been. So some of that I'm just genetics. I'm pretty lucky genetically. I inherited good genes. I never smoked. So that
nice.
And yeah, I'm still naturally fit without having to do a whole lot of work. And I'm, you know, I still haven't, my weight hasn't fluctuated. So maybe now, I think I weigh more today, but you know, still right around 130 pounds. So
nice.
Yeah, I've been there for years. So yeah.
Right on. That's awesome. You said you cycle like often, but not every day. Do you enter competitions or go into races?
I'll not competitions, just rides. I would. My biggest fear is in the bunch riding, you know, elbow to elbow with a bunch. That would be uncomfortable, you know, trying to get used to riding in that big crowd.
Yeah.
Because if one guy goes, especially if you got inexperienced guys, one guy goes down, he's going to bring the lot of you down.
Yeah.
And I might be that guy. I don't want to be that guy, but I've done century rides before, like where you in a big group ride where it's at your own pace, but still, you know, 65 miles to 65 miles. So we did, actually, we did our own 65 mile ride on the 4th last year.
Right.
We just plotted a little course around the area and 65 miles when we were done. So that was fun. Took a while, but
nice.
And I do want to do the STP one day in one day, you know, I don't want to do it in 2 days. I want to do it in one day. So
nice. What's the STP?
That'll be a challenge. Seattle to Portland.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. It's hard to get signed up for it because you got to do it out so far out because it's really popular.
Yeah.
And the way, who knows if they're going to have it this year. So
I'm pretty sure that's one of the rides that one of my friends from Bremerton does every year.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah. He goes into it every year.
So yeah, it'd be fun. But
yeah, that's awesome.
Or the RSVP is one, ride from Seattle to Vancouver and party. That's another one. If they still do that one. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. I've been looking at rides that we can do, you know, or we might just do our own. We also like to just do our own thing. Me and the kids, we'll plot our own ride. Yeah. And with, you know, Strava and other, you know, apps, you can actually do that and be on the app, you know, and they have safety. You can, like, usually when I go, I'll send a safety beacon out to the kids. If I go by myself, even if we're together, you know, this, so if you have a crash or something, you know, they know where to find you
right
on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. That's awesome. That is awesome. Cause a lot of people don't do that.
Cause I blew a tire. Once me and him were together, I went over the handle. I hit a post and went over the handlebars and we had to walk back cause the tire had blew. I wasn't hurt. The worst crash I ever had as an adult, I was just barely moving. And I put it down and I dislocated my thumb and barely moving. But when I hit the post, I was moving, header over the handlebars, landed on my shoulder, back on my feet, you know, just in one motion. And Jared's like, are you okay? Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. First question, then second question.
Yeah. Yeah, but the dislocated thumb was a pain. So
yeah.
I mean, other than road rash, I've had a couple of those.
Yeah, that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Did Jared tell you the post is not part of the bike route?
Yeah, it's funny because I saw it. You know, we go through those posts all the time because you keep the cars off the trail. And yeah. I went to go through it, and I said, "Oh no!" Then I overcorrected myself back into the post. So, and he was behind me. That was back in the days when he would be behind me. Now I have to get, unless we're climbing a hill.
You follow I'm him,
fighting to keep up with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Jared's pretty active too, isn't he? He's
yeah.
active in a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And he has his job is nice. He only works, he works the weekends. He basically works Friday through Sunday and has the rest of the week off. So,
nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
So he works long days, but you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't play hockey as much anymore. I mean, once in a while, but for him, it's just like he's not as good as he used to be. And it bugs him, you know. I mean, he'd get it back, but he's like, yeah, I can't play like I used to play.
Right. You know, if you don't spend enough time doing it, you start to lose it. You get rusty. So you can still do it. It's just not up to the level you want it to be.
And we just traded that expensive hobby for another one. So
right.
Bike riding is not cheap. Well, not as bad because it's
graphite bikes and.
Yeah, his like girlfriend works at a bike shop, so we get good discounts. Yeah.
Nice, right on.
And she gets insane discounts. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That
we just awesome. Have her buy it. You just buy it for us. So here's our list. This is what we need. Yeah.
Who outside of your family do you think has been one of the biggest influences on you?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, you know, one of my bosses at the hotel, Celester Gray, he was just the best boss I ever worked for. He was just one of those guys that could get you to do stuff. He's like, yeah, there's not a chance I'm going to do that. No way. I don't want to do that. No, it'll be okay. Cause you knew he would do it with you. It's not a problem. You know, just a good guy, you know, he's a good guy to work for. He didn't just treat his employees thought him as people too, which sometimes in work is hard. I mean, it's a tough thing to manage sometimes because, you know, people sometimes take advantage of that, but he was actually good at it, you know, and I still talk to him a little bit lately, not for a long time, not, we hadn't talked this because, you know, people go in different directions and you get out of touch, not anyone's fault, just the way it works, you know. And then one of the few positives of social media is how you can reconnect with some of those people.
Right.
You know, and he's one that we've been able to reconnect a little bit. So still tough in the, you can't really meet up as much.
Right.
Maybe once the vaccines for everybody are out, so maybe that'll help speed it up. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see what the world looks like post COVID. So
yeah, exactly, right?
I don't know.
Normal.
We'll see. Yeah. Hopefully.
Do
that's
you?
One, you know.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. Who gave you? What was the best piece of advice ever given to you and who gave it to you?
Oh, wow. I don't know if it's the best piece of advice. It was at the job that I would do now. Not what I do now because I moved out of that part of the kitchen. But when I first started, everything would just come thick and fast because at the hospital, when it hits like 7, they changed the process a little bit. So it's not literally all the patients would order. So that machine would just spit out tickets like one of those things you see in a show where the copying machine just went haywire and it won't stop printing copies. It's just like that. And I would always, I'd always stress out. And one of the cooks is looking at me, Duff, what are you doing? Oh, I don't want to fall behind. He just like, we're always behind. Yeah. And the way he said it, all right. And it just calmed me right down. You know, and it's like, okay, you just pick. And I've used that same before that, not thinking of that, at my other jobs when I'd see guys get all stressed. I had never seen tickets of that many before. And it's like, whoa, But I'd see other guys too that. I said, dude, just handle what you can handle. If you can only handle five, ignore all the rest, do five, then do five more, then do five more, and then do five more. You know, don't try to do all 50 if you can't handle it, because you're just going to get lost. Just do five, you know.
Nice.
And then you'll be done. You know, just don't bite off more than you can chew, basically.
That's the whole eat the elephant.
Yeah.
One but, bite at a time. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. And for life, I don't know. You know, I say, don't be, people say, don't say you're sorry. You know, because, you know, or if you're wrong, you know, especially when you're a parent, a lot of parents I knew never wanted to admit they were wrong. Wow. That I'm wrong all the time. I'm right a lot, but I'm not perfect. I make mistakes all the time and own them. You know, if you own them and people, and you're, when you're trying to get somebody to do something and you own it, if you make a mistake, it gives them that much more respect for you. It's like, okay, you know, so, you know, own your mistakes. You're going to make them, you know. The day you stop making mistakes is the day they're probably saying what a great guy you were, and you know, all your friends have gathered. So
memories.
yeah
you don't want those memories.
No,
not yet anyway. But yeah,
just be true to who you are too, you know.
Right on.
Don't, I mean, that's for me, I, you know, don't change just to please some. You gotta be what you are. Unless you have to make some like lifestyle changes because you're self-destructive or whatever. But you know, I mean, we all have things, rough edges we want to polish off. But but you gotta be true to who you are.
What is one thing you've done in your life that you're most proud of?
Being a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I might not, you know, I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most handsome. I'm not the strongest. I'm not the fastest, but being a parent, I was good at that. You know,
nice.
What I did it, you know, and that was my mother. My mother, she might not have known anything about anything if you asked her. She was actually pretty smart. Not that she'd ever admit it, but one thing she knew was how to raise her children, and she knew that better than anybody. And that I kind of learned that attitude from her. So
nice.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
What's something in your past that you wish you could go back and change?
You know, just, you know, personal relationships that went sour that maybe I had a hand in, or, you know, things I've done, like I wanted, you know, could I have went and done it better? Sure. Apologize to people that I didn't, that I should have, that I might have, I have sense, but you know,
yeah,
but you can't go back. And ultimately, because people ask me that, I ask that question, if you could go back and do it over, would you? And I wouldn't, because, you know, I like the person I am now, and if I changed something back then, I might not be the, you know, that's what if my life came out this way, it could have been better, but it could have been worse, you know. And I wouldn't change it, you know, because, you know, here I am. This is I'm happy with what I've done. You know, sure, I still got more things to do, hopefully. and there's things I wish I could have done better. Sure, you know, that just means I try better on the next one. So
yeah,
you know,
life experience.
Yeah, where but I'm not perfect. Go? You know,
yeah,
I've had my moments.
Yeah,
so.
How do you know when you know?
Oh, God. that's a question. Wow. It's funny when you kind of figure it out and you realize that the clues were there all the time. You just didn't see them. You know, I've had that happen before. Yeah. Like, oh, there's a reminder. There's a reminder. I don't know. I think that it's different for everybody. Sometimes you can get hit over the head with something so much and you still don't see it. And then, you know, oh, okay. Now that's what you're thinking. And sometimes it just comes to you like out of the blue. But that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. You just know, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not too late when you know, you finally know that you know.
Right. I've never had anybody answer it the way you have. That's awesome.
Ah.
And it makes sense how you started that. So that's excellent. If you could write a letter to yourself as a younger person, what would you say and what age would it be?
Ooh. That's a good question. I've thought about that too, because that would actually be cool. It'd actually be cool to write something to your older self, but you know, younger self would definitely need the advice a little more. Probably not to dwell on it when you have stuff happen that's not pleasant or bad stuff, and you're going through, you know, breakups or sadness, and you're all, you know, and it, you're hurt and it's horrible and you hate it, you know, just it'll get better, you know, because people will tell you that, but you don't always believe it. Right. And at least if you had yourself saying, oh yeah, you'll come out of this better than you went in it and everything will be fine. It doesn't seem like it now, but it will. And it did. And it was, so yeah, maybe not, take that pack of gum off the shelf when you were 8 years old after trying to sell the guy Cub Scout tickets and get busted for shoplifting. My criminal career ended that day. So
yeah,
I wasn't any good at it. So no, it was funny when I did that. No, yeah, I did that and I got caught by the store manager and he knew my dad and he calls my dad. My dad's over there. That was the longest time of my life waiting for my seeing that yellow windbreaker walk up the stairs. It's like, oh man. And then I had to go to confess. That was my mom. You're going to confess that to the priest I was an altar boy for. I wasn't an altar boy then. I can't remember. And I went to confession and he's not there. I went, oh, hallelujah, divine intervention. He's not there. So I'm about to leave and he just comes walking right out of the church because, you know, the confessional at that time had a different door or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, just come with me. And no confessional, right in his office, face to face. And he's like, well, did you turn what you stole? Well, sort of. I got caught. And he just started laughing. He goes, and he made me go apologize. No Hail Marys and stuff like that. He gave me real penance. Like, you need to go to that man's door and apologize. And I did. So yeah, and decided that awesome. That wasn't for me.
Yeah,
the crime wasn't for me. So
to anybody listening, don't go steal gum off of a shelf when you're trying to sell Cub Scout tickets.
No, they'll scout it. And he bought tickets. That's the thing. He'd bought two tickets.
Yeah,
and I don't know what I was thinking. So obviously, I wasn't. So,
what's your biggest motivator?
Wow. Cause that changes, you know, when kid was young, it was, you know, I got a family to support, you know, I got things to do for him. Now he's, you know, other than occasional advice, whatever, he doesn't need, I don't need to support him. You know, he probably makes more money than me, which is what I wanted. So
yeah, that's all you want.
Yeah. You know, and now I'm, you know, the 50s have been great. You know, my 30s were not always great just because, you know, some of the personal struggles I dealt with were at that part. But, you know, 40s are okay. 50s have been great. I mean, they've been fantastic. So I'm enjoying life. So, you know, I have my moments, you know, sometimes with the beginning of the ice of the COVID was tough. You know, yeah. Not that I socialize with the whole big group of people, but I socialize with, I shouldn't say that. I don't socialize a lot with people and just individually, like, hey, how's it going? I mean, I do, but, I tend to just socialize in general. Like when I couldn't go to games, because I had people that I saw in those contexts, you know, the people that I had tickets around, you know, that becomes like a little just community, because we had seats next to the same group for 10 years, you know,
right.
I couldn't see any of them, you know, and just people, I like to interact. Just sometimes I interact well with strangers. You know, I do all the time, you know. My last two vacations, I went by myself. Once I went, I was seeing family, so it wasn't a big deal. But when I went to South Carolina, I was totally by myself just for a week. And I just wandered around Charleston, South Carolina for a week. I went for a soccer preseason tournament the Sounders were having. So that was the motivation. But also, I just love Charleston.
Nice.
I'd never been there before. It's my favorite city in the U.S. I mean, I like history, and it's a great history city. You know, nice. Civil War, War of 1812, Revolutionary War. I think Fort Sumter still active in the World War I, at least. And just interacting with people there. You know, I've always talked to strangers. You know, so I just like to get up. You know, I want to see what happens on the other side of this whole COVID thing. And hopefully sometimes I think we're living in the last days of Pompeii. And, other times I think we're going to be fine. So yeah. I want to see how it turns out. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. What inspired you to choose the career you're in?
I don't know if I would say inspired. It's funny. I went to school for broadcasting, never used my degree until the last, 4 years, but I didn't, at the time I was working just to work, go through school. And then, I became a parent, and then I needed just to support the kid. And I did that. And then it was just, okay, this is what I'm good at. You know, I need to work. So I'm going to do it. You know, and then I wouldn't say I loved it at the beginning. I don't even know if I love my job. Don't necessarily love to cook. You know, I don't cook much at home, I do what I have to eat just because I like to eat, but
right.
I don't make these lavish meals at home, like I do at work, no homemade gumbo, at home, maybe when I retire, or unless I'm making dinner for somebody. Yeah. A cup of noodles, unless I'm making dinner for somebody, right. Then I'll go out a little more, but if it's just me, I made a frozen lasagna for dinner the other night, and I ate the whole tray for dinner.
The whole tray.
Yeah. So,
and you're still 130 pounds.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe it's metabolism. But now I like the hospital. I really like that. I like, helping people, so I've always been a bit of a good Samaritan.
There's a sense of satisfaction there, right?
Yeah. More than I got from working in the hotel. So other than the time I had a guy at the hotel whose kid was allergic to literally everything, and food allergies are scary, and the dad had came down and wanted to talk to the cooks personally, or the cook, or when I'm looking, I don't want this responsibility, I don't want it, and I'm looking at the other guys, oh crap, I don't trust any of these Duffy. Guys with the responsibility. So I talked to him, and I just said, well, we had to make sure we didn't put in, it had to be in stainless steel pans, not aluminum. So we had to get that, And finally I just said, well, he wanted us just to make everything at once. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I said, you just tell him, bring it in. Cause he brought his own food. I said, just bring down what you need per meal and we'll just make it. Cause if his system is that delicate, I don't want you to have something that we cooked on Monday and you're still there on Friday. Right. That's 5 days old. It'd probably be fine, but do you really want to risk it with somebody whose system is that sensitive? I don't. At work at the hospital, we open something on Monday, and if it's not used by Wednesday, it's thrown away. Yeah. That's 3 days, and Monday counts as the first day. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So right on. If you could do or be anything at all without any possibility of failure, what would it be?
Wow. Well, you got to have the possibility of failure, because that, you know, I'd be a professional bike rider. And I go back and forth on those, but that would be fun because I love pro cycling. I love to watch it. I like the team aspect that people don't always see, you know, the guy that drags the guy up the hill or keeps him sheltered from the wind. Cause we notice that when we've rode with three people can go faster than one person.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Cause of the draft and that'd be fun, you know, and I'd get to live in Europe, and that'd be a bonus too. You know,
there you go.
Cause that's where the big races are, you know, so.
Right on. That's awesome.
And I'm built for that sport. You know, I'm not big enough other than to be a scrum half, to be a pro rugby player. I'd never be a pro football player. I'm not tall enough to be a basketball player. But yeah, that one physically I fit, you know, I'd be a good climber and I do climb well, maybe not world-class like those guys. I don't pump out those kind of watts, but it would be fun. You know, like you said, yeah. You know, and I'd be retired now, hopefully, you know, but I'm actually not far out. I'm hopefully 5 years, knock on wood. That's my plan, 5 years and then retire. Nice. Yeah. We'll see.
What do you think has made the biggest difference in your life about how successful you've become now?
Well, that's not a tough question, because career-wise, I was never that driven, which is probably why I never, you know, achieved great heights. You know, maybe some people might think, I don't look at it that way, because I never was motivated by chasing after the dollars. I took jobs to do what I had to do. You know, I had weekends off because, you know, I wanted to spend time with my kids. That was important to me. You know, when he played hockey, that was, you know, important to be able to go with him and do that. You know, we had fun. You know, it wasn't, you know, those times go so fast. You know, one day he's 4 years old, next day he's 21 and he's playing his last junior game. So, you know,
right.
And it's like, where did it go? You know,
yeah.
But
we have a lot of good times.
Yeah, I've done well in my career. I never owned my own place, but I never really wanted that job, because I've seen that job and I don't want to work that hard. I mean, I to make it successful, you literally have to work around the clock, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I mean, maybe if when you think about one of those days, oh man, I can't find a job, I have to start my own business or something because I need to make money, you know, I would then, but I felt I've achieved a lot, maybe just, you know, as a person, you know, I did what I wanted to do. I made, you know, I lived with the choices I made. I don't blame anybody when they didn't go the way I wanted. You know, I had one chance years ago to get out of this business and do something else. But at the time I took the job at the hotel, and the chef that hired me, I'd worked with at another place, and I had literally been there like a week, maybe 2 weeks. And then I got an offer to go do something else, and I didn't feel comfortable, you know, leaving him in a lurch. So I turned it down, you know, and there was my shot, but
that's integrity.
And that was a choice I made. So, you know, it just wasn't in the cards.
Yeah.
And I'm not unhappy. I met good people doing that job. And I liked it there in the beginning. At the end, not so much, because, you know, we got sold a bunch and it wasn't the place I started at, you know.
Right.
But I wanted to get back to that place before I left. I tried and it wasn't getting there. And finally, we were getting sold again. And the hospital said, you know, that I'd been working on call for at that point for years. And they said, you know, we have some positions opening up if you're interested. That was a sign, and I took it. I said, yeah, great. So I took a short pay cut to take the job, you know, and never looked back. So
yeah,
and now it's my last one. So, and I like the hospital. Even if I left the department, I'd work at the hospital. So it's a good place to work. So
nice. That's awesome. Tell me a little bit. So you cycle a lot and you do a lot of outdoor stuff. You love soccer. Tell me a little bit about the Sounders.
Oh, the Sounders. That's just my team. Me and Jared started going when he was little, back in the A League and the USL days, and then when they became an MLS team, we got season tickets. I remember buying, because he was still playing. I think we were midgets, and I remember when they announced the team was coming, and I put my deposit down the day they announced, and I was 112 on the list of people. So
nice.
I remember one of the coaches said, "Hey, is your dad pretty excited that the Sounders or the MLS is coming?" He goes, "Oh, he's already put deposit down." And, we have great seats. I was fan of the year in 2017 for the Sounders. So that was cool. I got a road trip paid for by the team to see, we went to Atlanta, me and Jared.
Nice.
Been to all the MLS Cups except for this last one because no fans, which was still a tough pill to swallow because I'd been to Toronto twice. And one of those days, little backstory, the second trip to Toronto. I don't know if you've ever been to Toronto. I love Toronto, by the way. It's a cool city. We're all ready to go. I got all my bags packed. Can't find my passport. It's lost. I can't find it. We tear the house up, look for it, can't find it. So I'm not going. And Jared's like, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I've already bought the stuff, tickets. You're going to go." And when I'm driving to the airport, he's on the phone talking to, I don't know if the State Department or whoever, and said, "Well, what do we have to do?" And I got an expedited passport, paid, $200, and got it the next day and caught a later flight. And flew out, and that was an expensive weekend because not only did I have to lose the flight that I missed, so I ate that money, and then I had to buy a new ticket, and I got that. Thank God I didn't cancel the return ticket because we were able to fly back together. Made it finally, and we were in a condo that we had rented through the Delta app. I think it's like an Airbnb, but it was Delta condo in the sky. And it was just cheaper than the hotel we'd stayed at the year before. And it was right downtown, right by the Rogers Center. And, is that where the sky dome was? Well, whatever that one was. And then where the Leafs play, they're right there. And, the subway was right there. And then the train to the exhibition, to the fairgrounds is right there, which is what we needed. And then we got killed. So it was a rough weekend, but I made it. So, but it was crazy. And I remember when they named the team, said, "I want to go to that press conference." So I went, got a ticket at the Space Needle. Got all the way up to the elevator and said, "Well, it's only for the media." So, all right, I left. I went over to a bar across the street and sat in the chef's office. Don't even know this guy. I was just talking to the guy. Said, "Yeah, they're naming the team today. I wanted to see the press conference, but it's only for media." And he goes, "Oh, I have it on the computer." So I'm in his office watching it. And so I'm going back over there. So I run back over there and once it started and gave my ticket to the elevator operator, I'll see how far I could get. Next thing you know, I'm in there. I'm watched the whole second half of the press conference, just sitting in the back. Nice. And they saw me after and they threw me back out, but I was there. So
should have said I'm
it was cool. Yeah, I could have now. I wasn't then, and then when we went to MLS Cup in 2016, a friend of mine did a podcast. I met him online. We've still never met face to face. We both are fans. We'd talk back and forth, and he'd had a scarf of his podcast, and he'd said, "Hey, I'll send you a scarf." I said, "All right, cool." So he sent me a yellow card podcast scarf, and I sent him a Sounders scarf, and he hates Sounders, by the way. but he's a Timbers fan. I don't know how we ended up being partners, but. And then he kind of said out of the blue, "Hey, if the Sounders win, you want to come on the show?" And I'd came on the show one other time to talk about the Cascadia Derby, Portland, and his partner at the time was a Timbers guy. And so we just kind of talked about the Cascadia rivalry. And then he brought me back on to gloat, so to speak. And then he reached out like a few months later and said, hey, Chris is leaving. You want to be a co-host? And I've been on the podcast ever since, you know. Nice. So, and through that and being fan of the year, he got me writing. I wrote for a website for a year covering the Sounders, and I might still do it, but they, whatever reason, you know, sometimes the blogs aren't always the most realistic or reliable getting your stories posted, and
yeah,
they stopped posting them. So I just, okay, fine. Yeah. And it was tough because I'd watch the game and I'd come home and have to rewatch it on TV because I couldn't take notes well enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just to spur the memory. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Because in the game, I'm the heat of the moment. Yeah. No, there's no note taken.
So. Yeah.
But, you know, two MLS Cups, 4 appearances, you know, 3 Open Cups, you know, Supporter Shield. So a lot of trophies. Nice. Yeah, it's fun. Awesome. You know, I'm buddies with one of the guys on the team. So not to hang out, as buddies as much as a 26-year-old and a 57-year-old can be buddies.
So, there you go.
Yeah, but he's a good guy, you know. So, yeah, and the guys are good. You know, they're kind of like hockey players, pretty down to earth for the most part, you know.
Yeah.
You can talk to them. They're easy to talk to, you know. No big airs, so. I mean, that's at least my experience. So yeah, it's been cool. That part's been fun. And rugby is even better. You know, those guys, man, they're just happier there, you know. So
right.
But yeah.
What about your podcast with your partner there? How you said you've been doing it ever since. How does that go? How do you like
it? I like it, you know. So we used to do it weekly before the pandemic. But then I don't know if it was during the pandemic or he wrote a book and he finally got it published, and he's done quite well. It's been really popular. So, it's about Boca Juniors. It's a book about, you know, which is a South America, maybe the biggest club in South America. So, you want to check it out, Boca, it's by Stephen Brandt. So a little plug for my partner. Nice. Yeah. And, you know, we'll have guests, you know, it's pretty informal. We've had big time guests like journalists, stuff like that. A lot of times we'll just get guys like us that just do a blog and want to talk about their team, you know, like who's your team? You want to, you know, and we'll put it out. Hey, do you want to talk about your team? And we like to promote a lot of like grassroots soccer that might not. I mean, I had one of the guests I got for us was a local club here in the area, Snohomish County FC, just a semi-pro, you know, team, you know, get a lot of college kids, kind of like summer league baseball, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Or like the Cape Cod League or something like that.
Nice.
And he came on and talked about being the GM of that. And, you know, we like to promote those kind of teams too, you know, because the big clubs, they have plenty of people promoting them, but the little clubs are fighting for every bit of attention they can get. So, you know.
And without the little clubs, you don't get the big clubs.
Yeah. You know.
You know, so. It's got to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if they want to make a go of it, that's insane that they want to do that. I'll give them all the support I can. So, and I bought tickets once to a game for a team that was trying to sell enough tickets to keep in business. I bought 2 tickets and just donate them to the boys club in town, because I'm not coming to Temecula anytime soon. So, you know, there you go. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What would be meaningful to you in 5 years?
Ooh, 5 years. Well, I'll be retired, hopefully. You know, probably, you know, hopefully the things that are still meaningful to me now, hopefully my health will still be good. And I'm at the choice because I want to retire, not because I have to.
Right.
Work optional, as my financial advisor says. You know, family. I want, you know, the family still, you know, priority, you know, especially since I don't have a lot of it left. So, you know, take care of those that I still have, and, you know, see where I want to retire. I don't know if I'm going to retire here. Maybe, you know, I just, you know, see what we do with the house. And, you know, once you have an old house and you fix one problem, three more crop up. You know, that one problem is hiding the other three problems.
It so. Never ends, man.
No, tell me about it. So we'll see. You know,
what's hopefully your I'm healthy. Of, what's your yeah. idea of perfect happiness?
I don't know. Do you really want that moment of perfect happiness? Because once you've got it, it's all downhill.
Right. Nothing's ever going to match it.
Right. Exactly. That's the thing. You know, strive for perfection. You don't want to be perfect, though. You just want to strive for it.
So you can constantly grow.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, your camera went away.
Oh, yeah. No, I, there we go. My battery's running low. So,
oh, okay.
I'm at 20%. That's all right. If not, I can just go plug it in. So, that was a camera tell me, yeah, my battery is in need of service. It always tells me that you need service, but my phone case is also a charger. So, but you know, hopefully my dog, he's 10. So hopefully if he's still around, that'd be cool. As long as he's barking, you know, he's been barking pretty much this whole time. As soon as my door, every time I'm on doing the show or any other podcasts I've been on, he barks the whole time, you know. And if my neighbors are out, he's barking at them because,
yeah,
you know, yeah,
too much action for him.
A little bit, or he wants to be part of it. So
tell me three words that you think best describe who you are.
Nice, honest, stubborn, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. I did have somebody at work say, you're so nice. And I posted it and says, you're not trolling for compliments. Sorry. I said, no, I'm not. And I realized that I know I'm a nice guy. I always have been. But, you know, the way it's always cool when somebody just says it. And I wasn't doing anything exceptional. I was just, she was carrying stuff. And I said, oh, here, let me get the door for you real quick. So she didn't have to wrestle the stuff through the door. And she's right. Like, oh, you're just so nice. I said, okay. If opening the door for somebody is an example of being so nice. All right. But I just thought I was just here. Let me help you with that. So
you were being regular and she thought it was really nice.
Well, and hopefully that just means I'm like that all the time. So, you know,
nice or kind, right?
Kind. Yeah. So kind. That's what she had said, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think it's probably better to be kind than to be nice. Cause sometimes to be kind, you might have to tell somebody something they don't want to hear, but in the long run might be kind.
Well, to be nice, you can fake it.
Yeah. And that doesn't
kind of, comes from the heart.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So
that's a better choice. I prefer that one. Yeah. I'll go with that one.
Why is it important for you to have positive and good relationships in your life, whether it be with your son or his girlfriend or with friends or with work people?
Oh, just because it's, you hold a grudge. It doesn't hurt the person you're holding the grudge with. It hurts you. You're the one that has to carry that burden. And just, you know, when your parents pass and, you know, you don't want there to be anything unspoken, like, or any feuds that weren't resolved. And not for them, because, you know, your parents, for the most part, if, you know, like, I remember when my mom had passed away, I remember the very last conversation we had had. My dad was all worried that you guys weren't fighting, were you? I said, no, it was just, I had a question on a crossword puzzle and I knew she knew the answer. So I called her and asked her and then she'd gotten sick literally that week. And if I would, like I said, if I would have known at the time, it would have been our last conversation. I would have had something more substantial to say to her, but she knew. And, you know, it wasn't like I didn't say it and it wasn't unsaid. It's just, you know. So, you know, but I've known people that are like feuding with people and say, you don't want to, that doesn't hurt them. That hurts you. And you don't need that burden. So, yeah. And it's not healthy for them either. You know, even if you try to make your peace and they don't accept it for whatever reason, you know, because sometimes you've hurt somebody and they don't accept it, but that's all you can do is say, I'm sorry. And hopefully they do, but if not, you know, at least you did what you could do and then it's up to them. So,
right. I seen a quote one day that says, I'm not forgiving you for what you've done. I'm forgiving you to make peace with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm forgiving you for me.
Right. So absolutely. Because sometimes you carry that burden and it's a burden for you, not for them.
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. If you were in a room all by yourself, whatever the room may look like, there's a door there. Describe what your door would look like.
You mean like the room I'm in now? just a regular door, you know, not fancy, you know, might have, some stickers on it, you know, maybe a poster, you know, just some mementos. Cause I am a sentimentalist, and, you know, which is funny because my kid is definitely not sentimental and I am totally sentimental. So that's why I have all this stuff that I've just kept over the years, you know, and especially like my books. I've been moving books up from the garage back into the office because we rearranged the office and I've been lugging books, you know, so I'm doing a lot of Stairmasters, even though it's literally running up the stairs. So,
nice.
And it's just a lot of that. It just reminds me of my parents. Or my, you know, family, you know, that have passed, and you know, I'm just a sentimentalist that way. He goes, well, you know, you don't need that. I said, no, I don't need it, but I like the triggers. So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, in my bedroom, I still have the portraits of my brother and me on the wall because that's where my mom had put them.
Nice.
And this was my parents' house, and I kind of inherited it, and I just moved into that master bedroom, but I never moved the pictures. So, you know. Where am I going to put my own portrait? So, you know, nobody wants to see that. You know, I was four years old when I got it taken. So maybe the best picture I ever took.
So you just have a plain door, pretty ordinary door with mementos on it.
Yeah. Cause I'm just I'm just an average Joe. There's nothing spectacular about me. I don't think. I mean, I'm a good guy, but yeah.
So if you open your door and went through it, what's on the other side?
Oh. Well, hopefully. That's a good question. Yeah. Hopefully more just my stuff or me, just more things that remind me of me and mine. You know, we still have Jared's first pair of skates hanging in the window. I have them. He'd put them in the window. But, you know, just stuff like, you know, things, you know, hopefully that all the things that are important to me are still there, you know,
nice.
And I'm still important to them mostly because that's more important that I still matter to them because, you know, they're going to matter to me no matter what.
Right.
So I want to still matter to them. So got to make sure I keep doing that job. So or doing, you know, being that guy. So.
Right on.
Yeah.
If you could have lunch and a chat with anybody dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, I mean, I've asked that question all the time. There's so many, you know, I'd love to have lunch with my mom one more time or my dad. Cause me and my dad ate lunch together after my mom passed every week. You know, on his days off, we had lunch together. Usually every time, you know, very rarely did we miss. So,
nice.
You know, and yeah, those are just great days. You know, didn't really talk about a whole lot. You know, sometimes he would just ramble on about, you know, politics, as he loved politics, even though it drove him crazy and he'd make him angry. and I just, you know, do my thing. Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. You know, talk about whatever, you know, stuff came up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
If you were,
I also have guys that I'd love just to hang out with, you know, athletes or people that I think are cool, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If you were.
Yeah, definitely my parents one more time. That would be awesome. Yeah. But it might be melancholy because, you know, we're going to have all you can eat because I want that lunch to last. Yeah.
It can be a long one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you were stranded on a desert island and you had a device with you that could only, it would never die, play one song over and over and over without stopping, what song would that be?
Oh, that song, that changes all the time. Right now, it would be the song called Lottery by this band called 10 Towers. And I just discovered it like a couple of months ago in a movie. And I said, oh, that song is awesome. So I had to go track it down and put it on my Spotify list. So, yeah, nice. Lottery.
Lottery.
You know,
right, yeah. Right on. The 10 Towers. I'll have to remember that movie. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, just, you know, kind of folky. So
nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one final question before we go.
Okay.
If Duffy Alverson has lived his whole life, accomplished everything he's ever wanted to, learned everything he's ever dreamed of learning, you know, your life has just been amazing all the way through. And when you pass on, you can't take any of it with you, or you take it all with you. None of it stays behind. No one knows who Duffy Alverson is. But mm-hmm. you can leave behind three lessons for life for future generations. What would they be?
Work hard. Have integrity. And be honest, you know, because good luck and all that, you know, I don't, you know, karma, people, whether people believe in karma or not, but, you know, I do believe what goes around comes around. If you're a good person, I mean, you might always see it right away, you know, because, oh,
there we go.
Are you still there?
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's, I'm on like 10%. You know, eventually that check gets paid. If you've done bad things, you got to pay that bill at some point. So if you're always just be honest, even when it hurts in the short term, you know, you tell the truth, you only have to suffer the pain once when you make a mistake. Nice. If you tell a lie, you suffer it indefinitely because you always have to keep the lie going. And then sometimes you have to build on the lie, and it's just a lot to take in. And just work hard because, you know, you're not guaranteed anything. You're guaranteed an opportunity, but you got to make the most of the opportunity. Nobody's guaranteed anything. So,
right.
Except a chance, and you have to make your chance. So, you know,
awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for joining me today, Duffy.
Oh, my pleasure. That's great.
It was awesome chat.
It was fun. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you for watching, everybody that's tuning in. And this has been Lessons for Life. I'm your host, Troy Hudkins, and my guest, Duffy Alverson.
And before we go, remember when we broke down in Tonopah?
Do you want to talk about that?
We can't, but we might die out before I'm done. But we have a lot of dietetic interns come through the food management, nutrition services. That's where I work at the hospital. If they're going to be dietitians, and part of their rotation, they have to work every position in the kitchen and then work with the dietitians. And so I was working with the intern is working with me, and she's from Reno. And we were talking. I said, oh, yeah, we broke down in Tonopah, Nevada once, and she'd heard of the Clown Motel, and she had friends that actually had stayed there, and I just cracked me up.
Stayed at the Clown Motel. Yeah, I tell that story to people all the time.
Yeah, that was that's one of the biggest memories of all my hockey is that, and like the horror movie that we went into, like this, this starts like every bad horror movie I've ever seen. And we made it through. It was fun. It was quite the trip.
It was a great experience.
Yeah.
And we shared it together.
Yeah. No.
It was awesome.
Yeah, because I told her we booked another night, and then the car got fixed. Or then Donna had came and picked up the boys, and she goes, "You want to come with me?" And I said, "No, I can't leave Troy here to deal with this by himself. That'd be horrible." I said, "No. I'll wait it out with him." So you know, I couldn't have done that to you. That would have been terrible. Yeah.
Well, it was a lot of things fell in place, and we were pretty.
Yeah, it did.
We made it there for the kids' game.
Yeah.
We showed up right before the period started. Yep.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
No, it was fun. And yeah, so it was
great experiences.
I did white knuckle it a little bit coming leaving, say, oh, it's just gonna hold out. At least only for a little while. Once I that, oh, okay, we're probably good. So yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting trip. I actually
yeah.
During the interview, I expected you to drop that in somewhere near the beginning. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, that was not the day where we were at either one of us were at our most flush.
No, we were. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting endeavor.
Yeah, but hey, that made it more fun. You know?
The most interesting for me, well, besides the Clown Motel, because that was a time and a half. But
yeah,
when we pulled off on the side of the road and I got out of the van and I went around to the front to look at it, and the cop pulled up like 20 yards away and got on his loudspeaker and screamed at me to get in the car. I'm like, what? That was, and then you see the vehicle, the Jeeps driving by with the machine gunners on them. Like,
yeah,
oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was.
We honestly just broke down.
Yeah.
We're not here to sabotage military installations.
Area 50.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was cool. It was crazy. And even discussing with the tow truck driver, because he was telling me all about the area.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did. Good memories. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they're memories.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, great experience.
Yeah, but it was fun, though. Yeah, it was.
It was
one of many. We had a lot of good experiences.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day. So
yeah.
No, I definitely enjoyed that time. The hockey, the interaction with the parents. I mean, that was just fun. Those trips are so much fun. You know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was great. Again, it's been great connecting with you again, Duffy. And maybe we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, sure. Why not? That was great. Yeah.
So, again, thank you for joining us. I'm Troy Hudkins with Lessons for Life and my guest, Duffy Alverson. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Tune in again for another
episode. My pleasure.